Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. A warm welcome to the report about our third quarter and the first 9 months of the fiscal year 2018 for STRABAG. I trust that, as usual, you have your presentation in front of you and would like to start with page number 3, giving a picture of the output development of the STRABAG Group. As you can see from the first graph, we generated an output volume of more than 11.6 billion euros in the first 9 months of the current year. And this clear upward trend was of 12% plus was driven especially by our biggest single market, the German building construction and civil engineering business, as well as by markets in South America, Austria and Poland, and before all by the overall favorable weather conditions in the first 9 months of 2018. Our order backlog increased even stronger by 13% over the level of 30th December 2017 and amounted to almost 18.2 billion euros by the end of September. Contributing to this development once more were numerous new large orders in our largest markets, above all again in Germany, Poland and Hungary. A significant development too was the contract extension, as you know, for the Alto Maipo tunneling project in Chile in May 2018, with a value in the high triple digit million euro range. The order backlog, however, was somewhat lower than by the end of June 2018 due to the high output in July till September this year. We now come to our result figures given on slide number 4. Our EBITDA grew by 27% and amounted to 571 million euros in the first 9 months of the current year. This, as already published before, includes a positive non-operating one-off resulting from the full consolidation by STRABAG of the German concession company Pansevia that operates the A8 motorway in the south of the country. IFRS requires us that we reevaluate the previous 50% interest through the profit and loss account, the so-called step-up. The adjusted EBITDA, adjusted by this one-off effect, stood at 516.12 million euros, which still is a plus of 15%. Depreciation and amortization, however, was down by 2%, which resulted in a 75% plus in EBIT, amounting to 298.9 million euros. Again, adjusted for the above-mentioned non-recurring item, the EBIT settled still at 243.6 million with an EBIT margin of 2.3%. A third quarter comparison also showed increases in the adjusted EBITDA by plus 6% and the adjusted EBIT by plus 10%. We now come to the net income given on slide number 5. Overall, the net income after minorities stood at 178.3 million compared to 82.10 million only in the same period of last year, which is a plus of 117%. The net interest income reached minus 10.5 million compared to minus 34.7 million in the first 9 months of 2017. While last year's figure had been influenced by negative internal exchange rate differences, these differences this year were positive. The EBT more than doubled, as did the income tax level, which left a net income of 187.8 million, a plus of 116%. The third-party share grew slightly from 4.65 million to 9.43 million, and all in all, this resulted to the net income, which I already mentioned before. With 102,600,000 outstanding shares, this corresponds to earnings per share of 1.74 euro, while it was 80 cents in the end of September 2017. Let's now have a look at our balance sheet. The overall picture is given on slide number 6. The balance sheet total grew from 11.1 billion on 31st December 2017 to 11.5 at the end of the third quarter, influenced again by the increased shareholding in Pansevia from 50% to 100% and the subsequent full consolidation. This also explains the growth of the non-current financial liabilities. Another influential factor were the higher trade receivables, which increased especially as a result of the reclassification of real estate project developments as required by the first-time adoption of IFRS 15. We have commented on this effect already in the previous calls of this year. Despite the balance sheet growth, the equity ratio remained at a high level of 30.3% compared to 30.7% at the end of 2017. Our net cash position decreased, as it is seasonally usual with us, from 1.3 billion euros at 31st December 2017 to 517 million, whilst it was 14.6 million only by the end of September 2017. We now have a look at the cash flow development given on slide number seven. Our cash flow from operating activities fell despite the higher cash flow from earnings from -84.9 million to -108.9 million due to the stronger working capital increase as compared to the previous year. This increase especially took place in our Transportation Infrastructures segment. The cash flow from investing activities at -472.6 million was 96% more negative, due in part to the higher investments in property, plant, and equipment, and because, of course, of the Panswevia transaction. The repayment of one of our bonds and the acquisition of the minority shares of the now delisted German subsidiary, STRABAG AG in Cologne, influenced the cash flow from financing activities, which reached a value of -36.6 million after -198.9 million in the first nine months of 2017. We now have a short look over the three operational segments of the STRABAG Group. As usual, we start with the North and West segment, which, as you know, comprises the biggest single market, Germany, Poland, Scandinavia, and the Benelux states. The picture of this segment is given on slide number eight. In this biggest segment of our group, the output volume in the first nine months increased by 15% year-on-year. This can be attributed to the high order backlog in Germany and Poland and the extremely good weather in this region. In the German building construction sector in particular, very little slowdown had been observed during the winter months. In Denmark, on the other hand, the output volume decreased as new large projects didn't directly follow the completion of projects from the existing order backlog. The EBIT of the segment improved by 71% and amounted to 43.5 million, a reflection above all of the good business and weather situation in the German transportation infrastructure sector. The order backlog increased by 19% over the level of 30th December 2017, which corresponds to 1.5 billion in absolute figures. Contributing to this growth were increases in Germany, Poland, and to a slightly lesser degree in Denmark and the Benelux countries. Regarding the outlook of the segment for the full year 2018, North and West is expected to surpass last year's record output volume in 2018. The German building construction civil engineering business should continue to contribute positively to both output volume and earnings. The ongoing tense situation on the subcontract and supplier market, triggered by the construction boom, is being countered or is tried to be countered by binding these parties at an early stage before the contract with the client is concluded, and with risk premiums estimated for expected price increases during construction. The transportation infrastructure business, especially in Germany, registered an excellent year so far. The economic environment is characterized by sustained low interest rates, high tax revenues in Germany, and a years-long investment backlog in public infrastructure. It is expected that the high output volume posted last year will be surpassed, especially as the order backlog is at a historic high. Labor and limited subcontractor capacities, however, remain restrictive factors for a further expansion of the business. In contrast, the situation on the market in Poland is becoming bleaker. The industry there is experiencing a shortage of qualified staff, of construction material, and of capacities in general to attend the enormous demand. This scarcity is more to be felt in Poland than in Germany. The development had led to price increases last year in the double-digit percent range for labor costs, construction materials, and subcontractor fees. At the same time, tenders are being withdrawn more frequently before award due to the budget overruns of the Polish state. The order backlog is at a very high level, however, and so has already secured the output volume for the ongoing financial year, which enables a greater and more strict selection of the projects for which bids are to be made. This is why the earnings should continue to be generated at a satisfactory level, while the output volume is expected to exhibit strong growth. We now come to our second operational segment, South and East, which comprises Austria, Switzerland, and all European countries east of these two states. The output volume in our segment South and East grew to 3.3 billion euros in the first 9 months of 2018, which means a year-on-year plus of 9%. Growth was registered above all in our home market of Austria, as well as in Croatia and, before all, in Hungary. The EBIT, on the other side, fell by 34% and amounted to 92.3 million euros. Demand, above all, for human resources and subcontractor services also intensified in the markets of Central and Eastern Europe, so that the margins, starting from an unusually strong level, approached the group average. If you have followed our calls before, I always underpin that I did not expect the extremely good margin in this segment to remain forever. Still, the current level is a satisfactory one. The order backlog registered a significant upwards jump of 16% plus over the level of 30th September 2017, growing to 4.9 billion. This development is also attributable to Austria and Hungary. Regarding the outlook of the segment for the full year, the output volume is expected to continue to grow with attractive but reduced margins in the 2018 financial year. In general, the combination of high demand and lack of skilled labor has led to increasing costs in most of the markets also this segment. The situation on the home market of Austria remains positive. New large building construction projects in the cities, especially in Vienna, are continually restocking the order backlog as similar projects reach completion. In the Czech Republic and Slovakia, the margins have been falling for several years now. The construction climate is getting tenser, as has been expected by us. In Slovakia, tenders are mostly for transportation projects with EU financing, including several railway projects, though the situation here is characterized by fierce competition, labor shortage, and volatile prices for construction materials. In the Czech Republic, the focus had been on building construction for the automobile industry, as well as commercial centers and office buildings for industrial clients. Now STRABAG has bid for several infrastructure projects that had also come up for tender in Czechia. In Hungary, the challenge in the coming months and years will to be work off the extreme high order backlog of STRABAG. The company is therefore being very selective with regard to the acquisition of new contracts. The entire Hungarian construction industry is currently in an unusually active phase. We come to our third segment, which is international and special divisions comprising our construction activities outside of Europe, our real estate and infrastructure development business, our raw materials business, and our facility management business, as well as our tunneling activities. This very heterogeneous segment closed the first 9 months of 2018 with a year-on-year plus of 11% in output, as shown on page number 10 of our presentation. This plus was attributable especially to a large project in South America. the enormous growth of the EBIT, a plus of 413% to 125.6 million, is due, among other things, to the fact that earnings were no longer heavily burdened by large international projects as they had been the year before, and to the positive impact of the sales of real estate project developments. The order backlog remained more or less stable versus 30 September 2017 and amounted to a little more than 4 billion euros. This development is due in part to the extension of the contract for the Alto Maipo project in Chile in May of this year. On the other side, the order backlog fell, among others, in the other non-European markets, but also in Italy and in Austria. Regarding the outlook for the segment International and Special Divisions, it should be possible in 2018 financial year to achieve an output volume of at least a comparable level to that of 2017 and to generate improved earnings now that the Alto Maipo project in Chile no longer has a negative effect on the segment's result. The real estate development business should continue to make very positive earnings contributions as the ongoing low interest rates and the continuously high demand for commercial and residential real estate are responsible for a generally good framework for this business field. Although the market for concession projects remains a difficult one, the income from existing public-private partnerships, so-called PPPs, should also help the infrastructure development business to another significant earnings contribution to the group's results. As mentioned, in the third quarter of 2018, we increased our previous stake of 50% in Pansuevia, the operator of the German A8 motorway, to 100%. With the exception of a few lighthouse projects in Germany, Poland, and the Czech Republic, however, no new PPP tenders are expected in the field of road construction in the group's core countries at this time. For this reason, we are also focusing, as you know, on selected markets in Latin America and now in Southeast Africa. In tunneling, on the other hand, new markets are not a focus at this time. In light of the continued stable order situation at Deutsche Telekom and the volume of new orders, the earnings development in our property and facility services division is expected to remain at an attractive level for the rest of 2018. Strabag PFS further diversified its client portfolio in the first 9 months of the ongoing financial year and has more than doubled the volume of new orders year on year. We now come to the overall outlook of 2018. As you know from our publication at the early morning hours, we have adopted our output to our outlook to the better, given the fact that now two-thirds also of the fourth quarter of the ongoing fiscal year are over. And as I always underpin, the fourth quarter is of the essence for the overall results of the group. We now think that the output volume of 2018 should clearly exceed 15 billion euros, whilst the previous target was at least 15 billion. Dynamic growth in our by far largest market of Germany, continued good demand in the countries of Central and Eastern Europe, favorable construction weather all around, no more earnings burdens from our international business. This has been the year to date. With developments such as these, we are adjusting our outlook also regarding our margin. We believe that the operating EBIT margin will attain at least last year's level of 3.3% on sales. Our forecasts lead us to anticipate another record year for Strabag. As reported, the positive non-operating one-off in the double-digit million euros from the full consolidation of the concession company Pansuevia in Germany will come on top of the margins I mentioned before. All in all, it is previsible that the fiscal year 2018 will become another rather satisfactory year for our group. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for your attention. Now I'm glad to answer your eventual questions.
Ladies and gentlemen, at this time we'll begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star followed by one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star followed by two. And if you are using speaker equipment today, please lift the handset before making your selections. Anyone who has a question may press star followed by one at this time. And one moment for the first question, please. The first question comes from the line of Markus Remis of RCB.
Good morning, Dr. Birtel. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, regarding the output guidance, if I just take the first three quarters and assume that 4Q is flat year-on-year, so adding another 4.2 billion, that gets me to 15.8. So, I mean, weather so far hasn't been that bad. To me, it seems that something like 16 billion could be even within reach. Would you like to comment on that?
I would not contradict that assumption.
Okay, very clear. Then regarding the third quarter specifically, there is, at least from my point of view, a bit of a disappointment in terms of the earnings generation in the Northwest segment. Just 66 million margin, just 3.2%. That was a bit below my forecast. Was there anything specifically in there, or is that kind of the reflection of the margin pressure foremost in Poland and Germany?
Yes, of course, the segment is not just consisting of Germany, because we have an overall rather good operational situation in Germany. The price pressure is extremely fierce in Poland, which also influences our margins. But we also have other not that easy markets in the segment, for instance, the Netherlands, and also in Denmark, as I pointed out before, the output was not as high as in the previous years. And all in all, this leads to the combination of earnings which we have shown now. But given the comparison to the previous year, I believe that it is still a rather satisfactory outcome of the segment.
Okay,
but the segment is more than just Germany. That has to underpin all the times.
Yeah, sure. But there were no kind of cost overruns to a larger extent at this specific project or kind of these impacts.
Well, Mr. Remis, as you know, with about 12,500 projects being worked on in parallel, there are always projects which are not running according to plan. Although, luckily enough, the number reduces. Also this year, we have projects which were a disappointment, but I would not say there was just one single project as we had to comment on last year and the year before last year, with regard to Altomaipo. So let's say, material single event.
Okay, that was the root of my question. Regarding the raw material business, I mean, it's also reading in Poor's report, a very hot market at the moment. I would be wondering to which extent your EBIT contribution kind of from the external sale of raw materials has improved. If you could give us some sort of indication of the earnings improvement here, and I mean, maybe more of a qualitative question: to which extent this is now kind of really playing in favor for you as a competitive advantage, that you don't have to buy all the material externally.
The raw materials business basically is being shown in the international and special divisions, to make clear that it is a different business as our construction business. And your assumption is true that the overall outcome of that business is a positive one. It is not being shown in our operation segments, because we ask them to pay market prices for raw materials in order to keep them at a competitive level with the competitors. So we try to not transfer the competitive advantage which we have by our extensive raw materials network, not to give that to the customers, and hence we ask our operational units to pay normal prices. Although I have to admit that the overall size of the raw materials profit which we currently, of course, generate is not exceeding, for instance, the profits from our real estate development business. So it is a remarkable one. It's a positive contribution, but there are other results within the international special divisions which contribute higher profits to the group's results.
Sure, but the external revenues, if I remember correctly, there was in the past a figure of 400, 500 million. Is that
yeah, that's correct.
Still
yeah.
The range? Okay. Okay. Then, regarding the Polish market, apparently extremely difficult to make money these days. I was wondering to which extent you're still working on older contracts where you kind of now feeling the input cost inflation the most, and to which extent earnings into 2019-2020 will be, or the margins, put it that way, the margins will be protected in a sense that you have already agreed on prices for subcontractors, for instance. Can it get worse in terms of a margin squeeze, or do you think the worst is currently about to be digested?
Well, currently we do, which is a positive news all in all, we do not see that the order intake would be dampened, which is a good news. The market is still very active in Poland. But that, on the other hand, of course, means that the demand pressure on our cost side also is still there, and that we cannot exclude further price increases also for our raw materials purchases, for our subcontractor prices, and also for our personnel cost. So it's still a dynamic development. However, it is true that some contracts, especially with transportation infrastructures, do include escalation clauses, which could help once the development would be a very extreme one. On the other hand, escalation clauses are basically unknown in the private business because, to a large extent, contracts on the private building construction side are, as you know, turnkey lump sum prices. And hence, there we largely depend on the fact whether or not we were in a position to rightly estimate the costs for the period of for the construction period of a project. So I would not guess that the difficult situation is already over. As I pointed out before, the market is still a dynamic one, and demand is not being dampened, which is good news after all as well.
Yeah, but is it still kind of worth from a risk return profile to be particularly active in Poland? I mean, to me it sounds as if margins are heavily under pressure. I think purely from conserving profitability and also from a cash flow perspective, there might be kind of a more cautious approach, maybe more rewarding.
I'm fully with you, and that's what I tried to express once I described our acquisition policy as a far more selective one. We are very more selective regarding the intake of new orders than in normal times, simply for the reason that we have a scarcity of resources, not only but before all in Poland, and hence we definitely do not take each and every contract which you could get from the market. And this is the way how we try to encounter the current development. Growth of output, or let's say top line growth, is not the biggest aim. We always underpin that results are far more important. The bottom line is far more important than the top line.
Okay, last question. The dividend base that would be excluding this 55 million one-off, is that correct?
That would be the attitude of the management, yes.
Very clear. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Rebis.
The next question comes from the line of Norbert Kretlow of Commerzbank.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. A follow-up on the input cost increases, if I may. When I look at the segmental reportings for Q3 isolated, I have the impression that there are also some input cost headwinds, in particular in the regions north and west and south and east. And I would like to ask you if you could maybe quantify the overall input cost headwinds for maybe for the group and also for the segments. I mean, when looking at Strabag, there is, I would say, above average share of own work performed. There is your own building materials business, which should both buffer you, but we also have labor cost inflation. Can you maybe give us an idea about when netting out the input cost increases versus Strabag's possibility to pass on these input cost increases, what would be the margin impact which we should think about? And the second question would be on the project pipeline. When looking at the order backlog in Q3, it was slightly down versus Q2, which would imply that the book-to-bill ratio in Q3 was below one, which I would also attribute to seasonal patterns. But can you maybe give us an idea about your projects pipeline? Is there any weakness in terms of new projects coming to the market showing up on the horizon, or is there still decent growth as we saw in the last quarters and years?
Thank you, Mr. Kretlow. Well, to start with the first question, the overall ambition, and that's what we are expecting for the full year for the group, is that notwithstanding the headwinds which you described so correctly, the overall ambition is to keep the margin positively stable, and that's what we think we will be reaching also for this year. As I pointed out before, we now expect the same relative margin as last year, which means 3.3% on a far higher sales figure than the year before, of course, an operational margin. That means that all in all, we have in the ambition, thanks to our diversifying strategy, that we can compensate the headwinds in certain of our core markets by positive developments in other activities, in other fields of activities. And as you mentioned correctly, of course, the real estate development division currently generates excellent results. And that also helps us, for instance, to compensate for increased cost pressure, especially in Poland, but also in other markets. So the overall ambition for the current year is to keep the margin for the group, all in all, positively stable, and that will also be the ambition for the following years to come. On the other hand, it is also an answer to the question, when will you be reaching 4% or 5% margin EBIT on sales? And as I always underpin, this is a very difficult question in the construction industry. We have that so-called glass ceiling for margin, and given the current cost development, the glass ceiling became even thicker. But still, I am convinced that our strongly diversified business will allow us also to keep a positively stable margin development for the whole group in the not-too-distant future. Although, for instance, in South and East segment, we see a decrease in margin, but this comes not completely unexpectedly, as you know from our previous calls. That was a development which was foreseeable for me, at least given the extremely high figures which we have seen the year before and 2016. So all in all, a positively stable development thanks to our double diversification strategy, regional diversification, and segmental diversification. With regard to the order intake, we do not see a weakening situation in our major markets, because we are often asked, do you see a turning situation, a turning point away from the booming situation which we currently see in some markets? We do not see that for the time being. It is true that the order backlog has decreased in the third quarter as compared to the first half this year. But this is due to two factors. The first one, as I mentioned before, is the very strong output development. Of course, a strong output means that we work off order backlog. And the second point is a more fierce selection once it comes to new contracts. We are far stricter in selecting new contracts due to the difficult task to forecast price developments on the cost side, and we believe that this will help us to defend the margin development as described before. So no, we do not see an overall weakening order intake situation. We do not see a turning point. And as I may probably add to this, I do not expect that for a very important single activity of ours, which is transportation infrastructures in Germany. I believe that the strong activity in the German transportation infrastructures market will last, notwithstanding the development of the interest landscape in the Eurozone, notwithstanding the eventual budget situation in Germany. This will be a very stabilizing factor for our overall business in the years to come.
That's good to know. Thanks.
Thanks, Mr. Kretler.
The next question comes from the line of Daniel Leon of Erste Group.
Good morning. A lot have been asked already, so just a few left for me. Maybe to start with Poland as well. As I heard, that there are some competitors of yours that sign already negative or contracts with negative margins just to remain or retain good relationship with public authorities. Would this be something that you could also consider, and maybe you can explain us a reasoning behind such a move in the current environment where everybody is basically having full order backlogs and full capacity utilization?
Well, a clear word from my side, not on purpose. We would definitely not take a loss-making project on purpose just with the attitude to keep a customer satisfied or in an amicable situation with us. I think it is fair enough that a customer must understand that we cannot take loss-making projects just to keep him happy. That will not on purpose. Sometimes that might happen, but it is not an explicit strategy of ours.
And would you see a reasoning behind that? Because in the end, of course, it's public tenders anyway with set criteria. Usually, it's the price, so this is a factor in such a tender. So, what could be the added value of such an approach?
Well, this is a speculation of the position of a competitor, but that might be a speculation that you can get price increases after you've taken the contract. But as I pointed out before, that's mere speculation, and that's not our general attitude to business policy.
Okay, and then two other ones. One on Brexit. Would you maybe expect that some construction workers in the UK might become available upon Brexit, maybe in Germany or in Poland again? Or would you rather expect that UK will anyway find a solution for those working there?
Very interesting question. That might depend on the nationality of the workforce available in Britain after the Brexit. Once it would be workers stemming from the European Union, that could be an option. For instance, we know, and you know, that many Polish workers in the past have been working in the UK. But as far as I see it, to a large extent, those workers return to Europe, to the continent in the meantime, especially to their home country. So I think the potential for additional workforce in the European Union is already being limited. And once it comes to British workers, for instance, heading for the continent, of course, that will be more difficult than today, because once the Brexit would take place, it would be not that easy for British workers to get a work permit in the European Union after that. Probably that would be an option because we are in need of such a workforce, but there would be a need for contingents as we currently have it, for instance, for Turkish workers or for workers stemming from the former Yugoslav states to be able to enter the European Union.
Interesting. And then a last one on you mentioning the southeast of Africa for internationally financed projects. Could you maybe give us some more rationales on such a decision to go to a rather unknown place? Wouldn't there be other opportunities in markets that you might know better already?
Well, of course, markets well known to us are always preferable, but especially the southeastern part of the African continent is not completely unknown to us. We have a long tradition of especially infrastructure projects in the region, which has admittedly been partly interrupted by the fierce competition from the Chinese companies. But in the meantime, we feel a new openness from that region for bids, again, from European companies, not just from Starbuck, but from in general from European companies, given quality problems with the Chinese products. So we see a chance. Of course, it is true, it must be rather big contracts in order that it makes sense for us to start an activity in a country where we don't have a country organization. It's comparable to the project which we currently already have in Colombia. As you know, we have taken that in 2016. It was the first project in this country. It's a big one. We have two joint venture partners. One is a local one. The other one is one who knows the market quite well, and we would possibly aiming at a similar constellation also once we would consider a project in Africa. Let's say that's what we call direct export business, a rather big project, a project with a serious contractual background, international contractual stipulations such as FIDIC, international financing from international development banks, for instance, and only if all those frame conditions are given, we would consider to bid for such a project.
So would you see Southeast Africa with a similar risk-reward profile like South America?
Yes, it is always a question of the concrete project. But I would think that if all the frame conditions I outlined before would be fulfilled, it would be a project similar to a direct export PPP project, for instance, in Colombia. We would, for instance, not consider such a project in Brazil right now. So it always depends on the country we are specifically talking of, and of course of the project which we are talking of. I could not imagine such a project, for instance, right now in Zimbabwe, to give another example comparable to the one I gave for Latin America before.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you, Mr. Leon.
Next question comes from the line of Stefan Trubisch of Kepler Cheuvreux.
Yeah, good morning, Dr. Birtel. I would have a question already, maybe looking a bit into 2019. You said now for 18, obviously due to this very positive development in Germany, also weather-related effects, you expect the output clearly to exceed 15 billion euros. And as a colleague of mine asked, and you hinted towards that, more likely towards 16 billion euros. I mean, what should we assume for 2019? I mean, are you feeling comfortable with an output level around 16 billion also for 2019? This would be my first question. Second question would be on the development of the minorities. These were surprisingly strong, or at least above my forecast. Question is, could you remind me again of after the, let's say, Süblin takeover and the STRABAG squeeze out in Germany, what's still left there and what minority figure we can expect for the year-end? The third question is a follow-up on the previous call on, let's say, international markets. South America, you just said Brazil is not an option for you, but obviously after the recent elections, at least what we are hearing is that the sentiment is significantly improving and the market mood is also going up in the construction industry. Why Colombia and not Brazil? Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Trubic. Well, regarding the output level, of course, we have first to have a look at our order backlog, because the order backlog of today is the output of tomorrow. And given the fact that the order backlog figure also by the end of the third quarter clearly surpasses 18 billion, it is true, however, this is not all order backlog for the next year. But I'm quite positive that we, again, also on the top line development, we will be seeing a positively stable development, which means that we cannot forecast an ongoing strong growth as we have seen it this year. That would not be a serious statement, especially due to the fact that, as I've underpinned before, we see a scarcity of resources and there are natural limits for the size of the output, which you can produce with the resources we have available. As you've probably also seen when you had a look at our personnel figures, we managed to increase our overall staff by more than 2,000 heads. This is already something, and this is necessary for generating the output which we currently see for the ongoing year. So the overall answer is yes, there will be a positively stable development. No, we will most probably not be seeing a growth rate which we have seen this year. So a positive answer, but a warning that you should not expect that the growth should continue forever like we have seen that this year. With regard to the minorities, a good statement. It is true that in the minorities today we also see some external partners which together with us have special purpose vehicles in the real estate development sector that has a fiscal background, for instance, regarding the land acquisition tax, which we know in Germany and in Austria. And to a large extent, those minorities have to do with our real estate development business. There is also a very successful minority stake in a facility management company, which we exploit in Hungary, which also leads to the fact that this year the minorities are somewhat higher than also we expected. That, after all, it's a positive news because the activities having in those companies have been rather successful this year.
And could you give us an indication for the year-end figure, roughly?
Is it probably it will be a low double-digit million amount, a little more than 10 million, but not more than 15 million.
Okay, thank you.
With regard to the difference between Colombia and Brazil, I still believe that the political and economical situation in Brazil is a very difficult one. Whilst in Colombia we have that special development of the peace process initiated by President Santos and heavily backed by the international community, also by the international financial community. And on top of that, of course, we have another very important factor, which is the language problem. We have, as you know, a very big activity in Chile with more than 5,000 employees. This is the Spanish part of Latin America, and Colombia is also part of the Spanish-speaking community in Latin America, and hence, of course, it is far easier to make business in a country where you have an idea about the language, where you have an idea about the jurisdiction, which is also closely linked between the Spanish-speaking states in Southern America, whilst Brazil is really, of course, it's the biggest single market of the subcontinent, but it is very different language-wise, culture-wise, also legal-wise, and hence it's a different question.
Okay, thanks a lot.
Or muchas gracias. Nada. Muito obrigado in Portuguese, by the way.
The next question comes from the line of Markus Remis of RCB.
Thank you. Follow-up also on 2019, if you could give us some indication regarding the CapEx needs you anticipate for next year. Is it at least, is it going up, is it going down, or rather stable?
As you have seen, the CapEx for this year, but we had forecasted that as well, is a rather high one. It's first of all, regarding PPE, of course, a reflex of the very positive operational business development. And as I believe that positive development will be continuing, I believe we will be at least on the same level on when it comes to CapEx on PPE, because we don't see a shrinkage scenario, but as I pointed out before, a positive stability. So yes, ongoing strong CapEx activities on the PPE side. On the other hand, for the time being, I do not see a repetition of the Pansuavia deal, and hence the CapEx for that transaction, in my eyes, is not foreseeable to come again in 2019.
Okay, and then just a clarification. If I add up the Q3 EBIT of the three segments, North, West, Southeast, International, and Special Divisions, I get to 236 million, which means there is about 40 million coming from the other or consolidation line.
Yes, we have left out that. The Pansuavia step up has not been shown in the segments, but
in the international and special divisions in the report there is a reference to the Pansuavia.
Yes, the operations is of course Pansuavia being a PPP project is operationally being managed by International Special Divisions, but this one time off is a non-operational effect, and hence we have not attributed it to the operational segment, but it is outside of the three operational segments.
Okay.
That's the reason.
Okay, so the figures which are shown in the on page 8 of the quarterly report, that is not excluding the Pansuavia apparently.
On page 10. International Special Divisions does not include the step up. Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Remis.
As a reminder, to ask a question, please press star then one on your telephone. And there are no further questions at this time. I hand back to Thomas Birkel for closing comments.
Ladies and gentlemen, I thank you very much for your attention, and I'm looking forward to talking to you again once we have the final figures for the full year. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.